Hey, I'm Doc Washburn. I'm back on Little Rock Radio. 2.5 years after Cumulus Media fired me for refusing the clot shot. Straight ahead, I'm going to tell you the latest friend of Bill and Hillary to die a very suspicious death right here in Central Arkansas. The one you haven't heard about. Because none of the TV stations or newspapers wanted you to know he was dead, much less how he died. Also, did you know the ATF recently shot and killed the executive director of the Little Rock Airport? Very suspicious. Finally, one of our elected leaders has spoken up about it. That is also coming up. But first, the apparent scandal of how the governor's office spent money on an unusual purchase. Now, the liberals and some conservatives seem to be pretty excited about what they call Lecterngate. But let me just warn you that in this country, people are supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. So no matter what I tell you about what the audit claims about Governor Sanders and her staff, remember two things. First, this whole audit report has been sent to the Pulaski County prosecuting attorney. So, think about that. This is a Democrat prosecuting attorney. Know what I'm saying? Second, until and unless he decides to bring charges against Governor Sanders and or one or more members of her staff, they are to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. Okay? So if there is really something to these charges, I can't imagine, now think about this, I can't imagine anyone will be able to lean on the Pulaski County prosecuting attorney to stop him from indicting one or more people. Either he does or he doesn't. So that having been said, let's dig in. Now, first of all, there's a guy named Matt Campbell, and he has a blog for many years called the Blue Hog Report. Now, Matt is a liberal Democrat. And so the tendency of people like me is to not take anything he has to say seriously because I'm a conservative Republican. But I did notice back in September. Oh, that's right. I forgot to give out the call-in number. I've been remiss in my duty. I apologize. If you want to get into the conversation, the number to call, area code 501-823-0965. 823-0965. Now, back in September, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders called a special legislative session to try to weaken the Freedom of Information Act in Arkansas. We have probably the strongest, or at least one of the strongest, FOIA laws, Freedom of Information Act laws, in the country. And every time there's a regular session, no matter whether you have a Republican governor or back in the day, a Democrat governor, no matter whether Republicans or Democrats are in charge of the legislature, they always try to weaken the Freedom of Information Act law. And so, but I think last September was the first time a governor actually called a special session to try to weaken it. Okay? So a number of us went down to the legislature and said, hey, we don't want you doing that. And the weird thing was, us conservative Republicans found ourselves standing beside and sitting beside liberal Democrats, all of whom did not want the Freedom of Information Act weakened. And so a bunch of conservative Christians are sitting there next to liberal gals with blue hair, and we're like, okay, wait a minute. You're telling me we agree on an issue? Well, looks like it. So I guess inadvertently, the governor brought together a kind of some bipartisanship. So anyway, having said all that, and having said that, again, presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, let me take a look at what Matt Campbell, Benjamin Hardy, and Austin Gelder are saying in the Arkansas Times. Again, a publication which I usually ignore. And we'll get to your calls as soon as we can at 823-0965. So here's what they say. First of all, editor's note, Matt Campbell, the lead author of this piece, is also a key player in the unfolding saga. The attorney and blogger behind the Blue Hog Report. Campbell submitted the FOIA request last summer that revealed a mysterious $19,000 expenditure, as well as a subsequent FOIA request that revealed the expenditure was for the now infamous lectern. So now remember, though, the person in the legislature who called for the audit was a Republican. Just something to keep in mind. And here's what it says. After a months-long audit of Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders' $19,000 lectern purchase from a friend last year, legislative auditors have produced a report documenting seven, quote, areas of potential noncompliance with state law, unquote, by the governor's office, and referred those findings to Pulaski County Prosecutor Will Jones to determine whether any criminal charges should be filed. Again, Democrat prosecutor. If he files charges against whoever, then, you know, it's got to go to trial. They're found guilty, that's one thing. If they're found guilty, not guilty, that's another thing. But it's up to him. And if he doesn't file charges, then you got nothing. I warned you getting into this thing. Senator Jimmy Hickey, Republican, Texarkana, requested the audit last September following public scrutiny of the governor's purchase of the pricey lectern from Virginia Beckett, a paid consultant on the governor's 2022 campaign. Beckett's company, Beckett Events, does not produce or sell lecterns. That's kind of odd. Legislative Joint Auditing Committee authorized the audit on October 13th. A second related audit request to look into information withdrawn from the public purview in 2023 is still in the, quote, early stages, unquote, and will be handled separately from the lectern report, according to head auditor Roger Norman. In September, Governor Sanders convened the state legislature in part to whittle away at the State Freedom of Information Act by hiding records about her travel and security from the public. Now, you might be hearing this for the first time, but those of us who are trying to fight to keep the Freedom of Information Act from being weakened last September are keenly aware of this. Republican Senator Jimmy Hickey asked auditors to look into, quote, all matters involving the governor or the governor's office, unquote, made confidential by recent changes to state law. Though the report released yesterday covers the purchase of the lectern and its aftermath in exhaustive detail, runs for 68 pages, including multiple appendices and a response from the governor's office. Auditors actually had trouble getting information from Governor Sanders and her associates. The New York-based company that manufactured the lectern never responded to them, nor did Virginia Beckett or Beckett's fellow consultant and business partner, Hannah Salem Stone. Legislative audit, you see, lacks subpoena power to compel companies that are outside Arkansas to respond to requests for interviews. And when auditors requested assistance from the governor's office, they received little help. Now, Governor Sanders herself, again, according to the audit, declined the offer to speak with or provide a statement to the auditors. Multiple instances of potential noncompliance with state law are described in the report. Now, when they say potential noncompliance, I think that goes back to what I was saying. Unless a prosecuting attorney thinks there's enough there to indict somebody, it's just potential. You hear prosecutors all the time saying so-and-so broke the law, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. I mean, for that matter, you may have heard recently that the famous former football player and murderer Orenthal James Simpson finally assumed room temperature. Well, the prosecutor said, hey, he murdered his wife and her friend, and we're going to prove it. And then the jury said, well, we don't care about evidence. We're going to let him go. So prosecutors say all they want. So-and-so broke this law. So-and-so killed that person, whatever. But you got to prove it in court. So anyway, I think that's why they're using the word potential when they're talking about noncompliance with state law. Anyway, so here are the instances that they're talking about in the audit. Payment for the lectern was made before it was delivered. Okay, that would be a violation of state law. The purchase of the lectern was tallied as an operating expense, though it's actually just a piece of equipment. That apparently would be another violation of state law. The state agency responsible for governor's office record keeping, which is the Department of Transformation and Shared Services, was not notified of the delivery of the lectern. That means the purchase was not properly recorded in a state information system, and formal purchasing documents or a detailed invoice were not obtained before payment to ensure the lectern met custom height requirements. That would be another violation of the law. Selling state property requires notice to the state procurement director and the Department of Finance and Administration, but the governor's office sold the lectern and the case for the lectern directly to the Republican Party of Arkansas without notifying the state procurement director or the Department of Finance and Administration. And again, that would be a violation of state law. A governor's office staffer shredded the bill of lading for the lectern delivery. Once again, a potential violation of document retention rules. In other words, the law. Next, the governor's office did not draw up a business expense justification statement until after the purchase was made. Once again, a potential violation of the law. During review of a Freedom of Information Act request related to the lectern purchase, Legislative Audit Committee of the Legislature, which is majority Republican, discovered three different versions of the invoice with Beckett Events, two of which contain the handwritten notation, to be reimbursed, LH. The executive assistant to the governor's office deputy chief of staff made the handwritten notes after the public record was entered into the state finance system. Adding the notes conflicts with language in a state law about tampering with a public record. And Arkansas courts have considered this issue before. So, Audit Committee co-chair Representative Jimmy Gasaway, Republican out of Paragould, spoke by phone with the Arkansas Times Monday morning. He described the document as a very thorough report. Again, he's a Republican. The report details apparent violations of 10 state laws. The report stops short of assigning culpability for these violations to the governor personally, referring to nearly all of the potential violations as being committed by the governor's office. So, who knows? Maybe that's plausible deniability. I don't know. Now, while Governor Sanders said she welcomed the audit when it was originally authorized last fall, her six-page response to the report was anything but welcoming. Her office called the audit, and I quote, a waste of taxpayer resources and time, unquote. Disputes that Sanders or her aides did anything wrong whatsoever, and repeats recent claims from Attorney General Tim Griffin that the governor's office is not a state agency and is not subject to general procurement rules. Now, somebody responded to that and came up with the part of the state law which said that constitutional officers are also under these same state rules and regulations. And, of course, that would include governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, on down the list. Anyway, Governor Sanders' official response to the audit contradicts statements that she made on October 4th, as reported by the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. At that time, and they got a little quote here from the Demgaz, at that time she said about the lectern, there are a number of features. I'm happy to connect you with the vendor that builds and puts these together, but it's not really my area of specialty. I'm focused on the things I'm good at. Building podiums is probably not one of them. When she was asked to approve the purchase, Governor Sanders said, we follow the regular course of law, standard operating procedure for any purchase that would take place by the state. But of course, everything in this audit says they did exactly the opposite. Arkansas Times says Sanders later said the lectern was specially built to be the right height to accommodate women speakers. Her response also says legislative audit, quote, failed in his application or reading of the law, unquote, and claims that even where the governor's office has followed state procurement laws in the past, it has not been required to do so. Attorney General Tim Griffin's opinion last week says the governor is not bound by state procurement and property disposal laws except for statutes that specifically mention constitutional offices or constitutional officers. Attorney Tom Mars, local attorney, who represents a former state employee, whistleblower, who alleges wrongdoing by the governor's office over documents related to the lectern purchase, said that Attorney General Tim Griffin's opinion was a PR smokescreen. Attorney Tom Mars said whether certain purchasing laws apply to constitutional officers is at best only marginally relevant to the matters that were investigated by the legislative auditors. What's more, the governor being exempt from those laws would not even arguably be a defense to any charges of misuse of state funds, fraud, or the alteration of government documents. Attorney Mars' client was the first to blow the whistle about the altered invoice described in the report. According to a tweet out there on Twitter, which I'm suspended from, but that's a whole nother show. According to a tweet out there on Twitter from Tom Mars, the whistleblower, quote, gave sworn testimony to the legislative auditors before a court reporter based on firsthand knowledge of the alteration and concealment of highly relevant records, unquote. Attorney Mars was asked whether federal law enforcement... Uh-oh. Calm down. Attorney Mars was asked whether federal law enforcement was looking into the matter as well. He responded, and I quote, "I'm not trying to be evasive, but I can't answer that," unquote. Attorney Mars noted that a grand jury subpoena explicitly warns against disclosing even the receipt of such a subpoena. Now, about that, this is why anytime you have ever seen, and it very rarely happens, but anytime you've ever seen a leak from a grand jury in the media, somebody broke the law. You cannot legally do that. Arkansas Times continues of special interest to radical keyboard warriors are mentions in the audit report of the governor's office's failure to comply with the State Freedom of Information Act. The audit report, and again, remember, this legislative audit committee is majority Republican. The audit report notes multiple times that Governor Sanders' office failed to provide documents to citizens in response to Freedom of Information Act requests. The audit report recommends that the office, quote, clarify the custodian of record for the governor's office for purposes of Freedom of Information Act requests, and recommends that the office comply with Freedom of Information Act regarding provision of public information to requesters, unquote. I mean, the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, that's the law. So if people make FOIA requests and you're ignoring them, then you're breaking the law. But the question is, what's the remedy for breaking the law? And we need to bring Professor Robert Steinbuch on, the only conservative professor at the William H. Bowen School of Law at Euler, to answer that question. Anyway, he wrote the book on the FOIA. Anyway, the report includes a breakdown of the total $19,029 purchase cost. Hey, surprise. The lectern itself didn't cost $19,000. Oh, no. The lectern only cost $11,575. So, wait. So, what about the other $7,400? Where did that go? Well, I'm finna tell you. Travel case for the lectern was $2,200. Shipping and delivery for the lectern and case were respectively $1,225 and $975. And then, this is the part that kind of stuck in my craw, even though I'm Republican too. There was an unspecified consulting fee of $2,500. Now, why do you have to pay somebody a consulting fee of $2,500 to consult you on buying a lectern? I don't understand that. Nobody's answering that question. Oh, the purchase also included a credit card processing fee of $554. I mean, now we've all used credit cards. And most of us have probably had to pay processing fees. Have you ever had to pay a credit card processing fee of $554? Anyway, a document attached to the report from Salem Strategies, LLC, which is totally unrelated to Salem Media. So get that thought out of your head right now. Salem Strategies, LLC has nothing to do with Salem Media. It's a company owned by Hannah Salem Stone. So a document attached to the report from Salem Strategies, LLC, says the state of Arkansas saved $3,000 on the total purchase due to a preferred costumer discount. That's probably a typo. It probably means It probably means a preferred customer discount. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, auditors found that the cost of the travel case, shipping of the travel case, and shipping of the lectern appear reasonable. But the auditors were unable to determine whether the cost of the lectern itself or the $2,500 so-called consulting fee were reasonable. Couldn't quite figure that out. However, that may be because Beckett, Stone, and the lectern maker all refused to talk to them, to provide any information. The audit says that legislative audit staff, quote, made repeated attempts to obtain the specific custom specifications of the podium from three vendors and none responded, unquote. The report adds, quote, it should be noted that similar non-customized Falcon-style podiums can be purchased from online vendors starting at approximately $7,000 as opposed to the $11,575 amount allocated to the custom Falcon podium listed on the Beckett Events invoice breakdown. Yikes. July 31st, last year, Virginia Beckett informed the governor's office that the custom-made podium had been completed by a company called Miller's Presentation Furniture. August 9th, 2023, it was delivered to the Capitol. According to the report, quote, the governor's office staff discovered shortly after delivery that the height of the podium did not meet order specifications, unquote. The report says they planned to return it to be corrected. Measurements taken by auditors in October indicate the podium as a standard 44 inches tall rather than the customized 39-inch dimensions, the governor's elbow resting height. Requested by the state. Sorry, I got all choked up there. Well, that happens sometimes when I have to discuss elbow resting height. It's a very emotional issue for me. However, so they got it wrong. They delivered the podium with a standard 44 inches tall rather than the customized 39-inch dimensions, the governor's elbow resting height, so they, which the state requested. So they were going to return it to get it corrected, and then they didn't. Hello. Soon after the lectern purchase first came to light last fall, the Republican Party of Arkansas issued a check for $19,029 to the governor's office. Governor Sanders' office suggested the reimbursement rendered the lectern controversy moot. They said they never meant to use taxpayer money for the purchase and that an accounting error was to blame for any confusion. But the audit report says staff with both the Republican Party and the governor's office confirmed reimbursement was initiated via a phone call on September 14th, months after the payment was made to Beckett Events, but only days after the media began seeking records. The audit report says, prior to a FOIA request related to the podium purchase made on September 11th, there was no indication the governor's office was seeking reimbursement for the cost of the podium and road case. The phrase, to be reimbursed, was also added to the Beckett Events invoice around the time the check was received. The audit report at least puts one rumor to rest. Well, thank goodness. Finally, some good news for the governor's office here. The audit report at least puts one rumor to rest. The purchase was not entirely fake. A real lectern was, in fact, delivered to the governor's office last year after money exchanged hands. Auditors note that it was cited and measured by legislative audit staff at the Capitol in October in the governor's office. Despite insisting that the audit report is deeply flawed, Governor Sanders' office touts that finding, among others, as vindication. Well, that's an interesting way of looking at things. The governor's response says The podium and travel case are real and exist. Well, that would be the good news. Now, what Matt Campbell here does not say in his article in the Arkansas Times about when the media started nosing around about this in September 11th, 3 days before the governor's office said, Republican Party, you want to reimburse us on this? And September 11th was when Matt Campbell himself lodged the Freedom of Information Act request to find out more about it. And then 3 days later, oh, yeah, well, Republican Party's going to reimburse us. So anyway, that having been said, coming up, we're going to talk about the latest death of a very prominent member of Little Rock community and a friend of Bill and Hillary also, and that's one that Little Rock media doesn't want you to know about, also what elected leader in Arkansas has finally spoken out about the ATF shooting and killing the executive director of our airport. But first, we have some folks who have been waiting very patiently to speak to us at 501-823-0965, and I got to go to them before we go to a break. Lori in Little Rock. Lori, congratulations on being the first caller on the Doc Washburn Show here on 101.1 The Answer. How are you?
Hey, Doc. I'm so thankful and so thankful to God and want to wish you congratulations. I'm so glad you're back. And I've been with you since about 2015 with the Stanley case.
Wow.
And I just wanted you to know that that we're thankful you're back and turn up the heat in Arkansas.
We're gonna try with God's help. Lori, God bless you, and thank you for waiting for about a half hour to get on the radio with us.
No problem. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. Okay, I'll hang up now. Thank you.
We appreciate you. God bless you, Lori. Thank you very much. Let's go to Scott in Cabot. Scott, you're on the Doc Washburn Show, 101.1 The Answer. What's up, brother?
Hey, Doc. Just like Lori said, first off, I wish I was the first one, but I'm the second one. We've met in Searcy and at your governor celebration thing at the end. So I've met you several times. I am so grateful, just like Lori said, and thankful that you're back on the air because you tell the truth. And by the way, do I get a way back burger?
I tell you what, brother. We got to get together off the air and figure out when I can meet you at Wayback Burger. Is this a nickname Bobo, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. We'll figure out a way to do it, brother. And thanks for mentioning my buddy Chris Hunter and my friends at Wayback Burgers out there in Chennault.
Yes, sir. And I love you. I love Steve Finnegan and Doc. I'm glad you're back on the air. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, Scott. God bless you, brother. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon off the air. Thanks so much. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. God opens and closes doors. God lifts men up and puts them down. And for some reason, in his timing, you know, if he had moved on the hearts of the board of directors, all of them a bunch of left-wing crazies at Cumulus Media, to not ignore my request for a religious exemption to not take the clot shot, then I'd be coming up on my 10th anniversary over at the other radio station. But for whatever reason, he allowed that to happen. I've been doing a podcast for 2.5 years, and now I'm back on the radio. And I'm excited, by the way. All right, one sip of H2O. Coming up, who is the latest very prominent member of society in Little Rock, friend of Bill and Hillary, who died a suspicious death in total blackout, total moratorium on discussing that suspicious death, all the TV stations, Democrat Gazette, Arkansas Times, nobody touched it. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about who is the elected leader who has finally weighed in about the ATF shooting and killing the executive director of the airport. Okay. And producer Steve, you know what to do after I do these, right? Okay, fantastic. I had three of them. All right, now, there's an old country song called You Find Out Who Your Friends Are. I want to say it was Tracy Lawrence, but I'm not sure. It was? Okay. So, when I was fired by Cumulus Media in October 2021 because I wouldn't go along with their COVID vaccine mandate, I sure found out who my friends are. A buddy of mine contacted me right about that time, and he told me that Mitch Ward over at Red River Auto had asked him if it would be all right if my friend gave Mitch my cell number. I said, sure. I'd never met Mitch, never spoken to him. But next thing you know, I was meeting with Mitch Ward, the owner of the Red River dealerships in Cabot, Malvern, Heber Springs, Wynn, Arkansas, all over the place. And Mitch told me that not only did he want to advertise on my podcast at DocWashburn.com, but when he found out that Cumulus had fired me for refusing to get the clot shot, he pulled all of his advertising from all of their music stations. See, he was never on the talk radio stations, even though he listened to my show every day in the car because nobody ever presented him with a sales package. Hey, why don't you sponsor Doc's show in the 7 years I was there? He pulled all his advertising off all those music stations. Buddy, I got to tell you, that got my attention. So when I was rear-ended a couple of months later, December 2021, on Colonel Glenn Road by a guy who didn't even tap the brake, and my car was totaled, where do you think I went to get my next car? That was easy. Red River. Check them out. And by the way, some of the nicest, friendliest folks I've ever dealt with, they're honest. I go there to get all my service done. They're like family. Check them out at redriverauto.com. Better yet, go see them at their lot in Cabot and tell them Doc Washburn sent you. redriverauto.com. Now, a few months ago, my wife and I found out that our daughter, Holly, had lost so much weight, she was down to just 94 pounds. She got nauseous no matter what she tried to eat. She had to quit work because she got dizzy just trying to stand up. Her doctor told her she had a hiatal hernia and there was nothing they could do to help her. So just go on home. Good luck, honey. So I told my wife that if we didn't try to help her, she's going to die. Her daughters were concerned. 12 and 16 years old. Mama's going to die. So we took our daughter to see our friend, Dr. J.R. Crabtree, the Arkansas Upper Cervical Center, and he did help her. And she stopped getting nauseous when she ate, and she started gaining weight, and she's back at work. He saved her life. Now, what Dr. Crabtree does is the best-kept secret in American healthcare. Let me explain it to you. Your skull weighs somewhere between 8 and 15 pounds. It rests on the top bone of your spinal column, the atlas, or C1, which only weighs 2 ounces. So it's really easy for that atlas to get out of alignment. If it does get out of alignment, your whole spinal column could get kinked up like a chain. And when that happens, your central nervous system can't send out the signals to different parts of your body as God designed it to do. Dr. Crabtree takes x-rays of your head and neck to find out if your atlas is out of alignment. If it is, he gets it back in line, and he saved our daughter's life. To find out more, go to their website, turnmypoweron.com. Last but not least, certainly not least, I am proud to have Colonel Conrad Reynolds and AVII as a sponsor of the Doc Washburn Show. They made it possible for me to do what I'm doing right now. AVII is the America Voter Integrity Initiative. You know, in Arkansas, we have a real problem with the way we vote. I'm sure you already know the touchscreen voting computers cannot be trusted. The cybersecurity experts and voting experts that Congress calls on all agree that we need
hand-marked paper ballots that are filled out in person at the local precinct. The experts also agree that electronic tabulators cannot be blindly trusted to be accurate when counting our votes. They all agree that there must be a hand count audit of all races before an election is certified. Why have the citizens of Arkansas never been asked if they wanted to use voting computers? Did you know that a recent Rasmussen poll showed that nearly 60% of all Arkansans want hand-marked paper ballots? To find out more about what you can do, visit AVII.org. Colonel Reynolds and AVII are working hard to restore trust, transparency, accountability, and accuracy to Arkansas elections. Remember to visit AV, as in Victor, AVII.org. Doc Washburn Show continues, 101.1 The Answer. Number to call to get into the conversation, 501-823-0965. Bet y'all didn't know Skinner did some jazz, did you? So I've been telling you this whole hour, I'm going to tell you about the latest suspicious death of a friend of Bill and Hillary. And none of the TV stations. This happened last year, but you still have not heard about it. I was talking to my producer, and he has not heard about it. None of the TV stations, THV 11, KATV, Fox 16, KRK, nobody talked about it. The Dem Gaz, the Arkansas Times, nobody talked about it. The Dem Gaz finally broke the embargo on talking about it months later when the family was suing the Perry County Sheriff's Office to keep the grisly death scene photos from being released, and God bless them. Who can blame them for that? But I was shocked just a couple of days ago, and this is why I'm talking about something that happened last year that you haven't heard about yet. I was shocked a couple of days ago. I don't know if you ever heard a guy named Joe Rogan does a video podcast, but Rogan loves to bring on people, a lot of times stand-up comedians, and he'll spring something on them. And they'll be like, wait, what? What are you even talking about, Joe? I need some details. I haven't heard about that. What? Now, this time, he had another podcaster on, a guy named Andrew Schulz. And he sprung it on him. And Andrew Schulz is like, dude, what? And it went something like this.
All that murder, war, drones, assassinations, that's not going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know the Clintons.
Yes.
Unless you know about old Bill. And then you wind up shooting yourself in the chest while hanging from an extension cord.
Wait, did that happen?
Oh, yeah. You don't know that guy?
Shot himself in the chest. Joe, that seems really hard to do.
With a shotgun.
How do you do such a thing?
While you're hanging. This is a guy that brought Epstein to the White House at least 7 times.
What's his name?
We'll find out. So they found him at a ranch 30 minutes from his house, hanging by an electrical cord from a tree with a shotgun wound to the chest. Shotgun discovered near the body of former Clinton aide Mark Middleton. And then they called it a suicide.
Wow.
12-gauge shotgun was 30 feet from the body of Mark Middleton. Was he found dead?
You never heard about that, did you? That's Mark Middleton. Right. Yes. You guessed right. Middleton Heating and Air. That guy. Now, he was deputy chief of staff when Mac McClarty was chief of staff in the Clinton White House, first couple of years there that Clinton was in Washington. And he got Jeffrey Epstein into the Oval Office 7 times. But sure, of course it was suicide. I mean, who wouldn't take a dollar store extension cord, hang himself by wrapping it around a tree, and shoot himself in the chest with a shotgun at the same time? On the great expanse of land owned by Heifer International out of Perry County, closely tied to the Clinton Foundation. But here's the crazy thing. Now, Back in the day, when Bill was governor, and he had the state medical examiner, Fahmy Malik, and Fahmy covered for Bill. Yeah, Bill had a state medical examiner who's from Egypt. Did you realize that? So state police would, or, you know, a sheriff's office, whoever, MEMS, whoever, would present Fahmy Malik with a decapitated corpse, and Fahmy Malik would say, died of natural causes. They would present state medical examiner Fahmy Malik with a corpse with two bullet holes in the back of the head. He'd say, suicide. Boys on the tracks. August 23rd, 1987. The train ran over these boys. They tried to hit the brakes, couldn't hit the brakes in time. They hit the horn. They made a lot of noise. The boys didn't flinch. It was obvious they were already dead. And Fahmy said, well, they smoked too much dope. They passed out, so the train couldn't wake them up. What are we, like Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future here? I mean, I thought once Bill left for D.C., once Fahmy Malik left, once we got Republicans in charge of everything, how could they keep doing this? No, I'm not making any allegations against the Clintons. That's Joe Rogan's job. Not me, man. And I'm sorry to be laughing because it is tragic what that family is going through. It's tragic. And you've never heard about that before, have you? My producer, who kind of keeps up with the news, he's a longtime radio guy. I was telling him about it today. He's like, whoa, wait, what? How come I haven't heard about this? I mean, how come I, Doc Washburn, had to go to an entertainment website, radaronline.com, that mostly talks about Beyonce and Taylor Swift? How come they had the breaking news? How come they had the news of the lady who was found at the bottom of the Arkansas River shortly before Mark Middleton was found dead, with the same kind of dollar store extension cord wrapped around her ankle, tied to a concrete block? And she left a note on the kitchen counter. I'm going kayaking in the dead middle of cold winter. And RadarOnline.com quotes an anonymous source saying that she had shown up at Mark Middleton's office a few days before she was found dead, highly agitated, to come talk to him in the office. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along, everybody. Move along. This is the kind of stuff I talk about because nobody else does. Nobody else does. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. The Democrat Gazette and the Arkansas Times and THV 11 and KATV and Fox 16 and KRK 4, it doesn't matter if they're under orders not to talk about it. It doesn't matter if they don't have the intellectual curiosity to talk about it. And I know one of the evening news anchors at one of those TV stations, and he's got intellectual curiosity coming out of his ears, so that's not it. But whatever, at least in his particular case, I'm sure he would love to have talked about it. But whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter because the results are all the same, which is you're not allowed to know. So, having said that, before we run out of time here, I got to tell you who is the only elected leader in Arkansas to have said anything at all about the fact that the ATF did a pre-dawn raid on the home of the executive director of the Little Rock Airport, instead of just dropping by the office and saying, hey, we got a search warrant for your home. It's about lunchtime anyway. You want to roll out there with us? Because we got a team in front of your office. I thought you might want to roll out there and unlock the front door instead of us having to break it down. because you got some problems with, you know, you've been selling, buying, selling some guns and stuff. Or pulled him over on the side of Chenal Parkway, red and blue lights. Hey, yeah, Mr. Malinowski, I'm Agent So-and-So, ATF. This is my partner, Agent So-and-So, ATF. Here are our badges and stuff. Yeah, would you mind just turning around and going down Shenandoah Boulevard there and back into the neighborhood? And so the only elected leader in Arkansas who has finally talked about this, made a public statement a couple of days ago. Was it Senator Tom Cotton? No. Senator John Bozeman? No. Congressman French Hill? No. Congressman Rick Crawford? No. Congressman Steve Womack? No. Congressman Bruce Westerman? No. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders? No. Lieutenant Governor Leslie Rutledge? No. Attorney General Tim Griffin said the ATF should release the body cam. Now, by law, I think they have to, but they're ignoring the law and they're ignoring the media and they won't say anything about anything. But the family's got a great lawyer named Bud Cummins. If you don't know who he is, look him up. I'm Doc Washburn. See you tomorrow night at 6:06 right here on 101.1 The Answer.